The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Michael Katz joining us in a few minutes to talk about the Ole Miss Rebels game in Arkansas this weekend. More of your phone calls right now, and you're up for a good time? Our next caller will give you one. He is Joe from Red Bay, Alabama.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul.
Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hey, it's good to talk to you again. I ain't talked to you all week. I tried to get in once this week, but I was, late. I've been having to do a lot, helping my dad and stuff. And,
hey, Joe, I don't know. Did you happen to hear – I'm trying to get my notes here. Sometimes I can't find them. Did you happen to hear the call yesterday from Red Dog?
Yeah, I actually did.
Okay, well, for those who missed it, I want to make sure this is what Red Dog's a Georgia fan. He used to go by Matt. That would maybe he advanced up to Red Dog. He said, "I don't think Alabama can score more than 10 points against Georgia when they meet in the championship game." And I know I said a few minutes ago I don't want to think about that, but I was just curious what you thought of your boy Matt trashing your Tide.
Well, you know what, Paul? I guess I'm going to have to take him back behind the woodshed again. Because you know as well as I do, if you play teams that got like 100th ranked best offense in the country, that's going to make your defense look good. And I've listened to the show this week, and you've hinted on that this week. About, they haven't really faced enough. Alabama has faced two offenses in the top 10 in the country.
Yes.
And the best that Georgia has done is Arkansas that ranks, 50-something. But you know what? Hey, I said Arkansas was good earlier, but it's not my fault they decided to take a day off.
So that's what happened, Joe. They just decided – We're busy. We're busy today. We don't have to go. We're not going to send our best players to Athens.
They probably thought Georgia. That's the East, so they got weak teams and just they really didn't try. They didn't try. Okay. And if they played it again, that Arkansas would probably give them a good fight. But you know what, Red Dog. I tell you what, he needs to do. He needs to go. Well, I can't say it on air, Paul. I can't say it on air.
Okay.
But, but he says this every year, how good Georgia is. I mean, this is a yearly thing. This is their year. This is their year. This is their year.
Is there anybody, Joe, is there anybody else in the SEC other than Alabama that has gotten your attention?
Well, I think Ole Miss is pretty decent. And I think Ole Miss would give Georgia a good – I'd like to see how Georgia would do with Ole Miss.
Okay.
I would love to see that game, but I don't think Georgia's going to have that chance. And I tell you what, even though Florida lost to Kentucky, I think Kentucky and Florida's both going to whoop Georgia. And Georgia still ain't going to play Alabama this year.
Really?
They better pray they don't. Because, we got offense that can change some points. And, when we face some good offenses, and, we've done pretty decent against them. But Georgia has not faced an offense that's worth, a dog doodle. They ain't. And if I have to, if Red Dog keeps running his head, just let me know, Paul, and I'll take my belt off and I'll take him back behind the woodshed again.
So is that really the best method, the woodshed? Is that how you do it up there in Red Bay?
It didn't work before with Red Dog. So
let me say this to you, Joe. I've met Red Dog, and he comes from something that the two of us don't know anything about, and that's being born in privilege. So I don't think that's going to help him at all. He'll just. He'll just hire somebody to kill you. That's all.
Well, hey, my brother's in town today. My brother is in Red Bay today.
Tell us about your brother.
He works at the airport in Huntsville, Alabama. He does their I guess they're buying and every, you know, he does their financial thing.
Hey, by the way, I want to, I've flown out of Huntsville a couple of times recently. That is one fine airport. I mean, that is one of the best airports I've ever been to.
Hey, my son, when he was going to Iraq, that's where he flew out from.
Yeah.
And I think he made ports in Atlanta and New York City. But
it's,
I mean,
it's a
rare, efficient airport,
and you really can't say that about many places. Hey, thanks for the call. Cat Daddy is on the air. Hello, Cat Daddy.
Big Paul, I must have had 5,000 phone calls since talking to you yesterday and making that bet with Tennessee and South Carolina game. I asked you to give me 3 points. And did you know that the spread was 10.5 points?
Cat Daddy, I refuse to answer that question on the grounds that it may incriminate me.
Senator Feinbaum, I will ask you again. Did you not? And did you not know that spread was 10.5?
Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, I will plead the Fifth Amendment.
Mr. Feinbaum, I find you in contempt of this court.
Objection.
However, I will adjudicate you. I will adjudicate you if
hey,
you agree.
You know what I got to say to you, Cat Daddy?
I'm a sucker.
Sue me.
Mr. Feinbaum, you got to
if I play too long.
Everything. You ain't going to give me 10 points?
Okay. Cat Daddy, I'm an honest man. Hey, I could do with Randy, I could do with that to laughter after I say that.
Sorry.
Let me try that again.
Okay.
Cat Daddy, I'm an honest man. Even I'm laughing now. You got the 10, whatever you want, Cat Daddy. If you think you need 10 points, then you can take 10 points.
I'll take those 10 points.
Okay.
And thank you very much, Senator Feinbaum, for finally recognizing your mistake. I'm sure that the rest of the country will see that come election.
Well, Cat Daddy, it was not my mistake. It was your mistake for not knowing the line.
Well, you got me there. You got me there. But I'm up to 10 now. So
I'm going to check right now in Vegas just to make sure that we have the freshest line available, okay? I don't want you hiring that whatever that law firm in South Carolina. It's in all the news right now. I don't need those boys after me after watching this circus go on. So we'll get you.
May not wake up to see tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to extend my life as opposed to shorten it. So if you give me just a second, here we go. Right now, I shouldn't have done that. I made a serious mistake looking up the spread. Do you know why?
Because it's higher than 10 points.
Yeah, right now it looks like it's moving toward 10.5.
Well, thank you, Mr. Feinbaum. I'll take that 10.5 and wish you and yours a wonderful night.
Okay. Well, thank you. Never get into an argument with a guy who's trying to reclaim his money there. that was stupid on my part. Jim is in Ohio. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Paul. I wanted to, or I should say Dr. Doom, I wanted to thank you for inspiring me. Last time we talked, you got me, an ardent Buckeye fan, to admit that my Buckeyes were irrelevant. So I started the change.org on my website that's linked to my website, the SECisOverrated.com, and I started a change.org that says move this championship change to 2023 instead of 2026 to expand the championship, because what's going to happen when the Bearcats are one loss, Ohio State's one loss, Kentucky's one loss, we're going to have 3 SEC teams up there. What are we going to do?
I can tell you what's going to happen. If the Bearcats have one loss, they are going to be out. Their
terrible
argument is only valid if they are undefeated.
That's true.
They play. Their schedule. You know, their schedule does not measure up.
Yeah. But I still think it's perplexing. I think we need a solution. It scared me that we're pushing it out to 2026.
Well, I've finally calmed down. It's just so typical of college football that we really should not be surprised. We're heading to a break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about the Ole Miss Rebels. The week that Lane Kiffin has had, he turned a negative into a positive in many people's opinions with the popcorn line. We'll talk about all of that coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
This is from the Lane Train. He's not backing down. This came out today. Free popcorn, first 5,000 fans. Give Kiffin credit. Everybody slammed him. He's embracing it, and I think that's why he is a lovable character. Michael Katz covers the Rebels in Mississippi, and it is a pleasure to welcome you to our program. Michael, thank you for being here. I've heard from a lot of your friends today, so your prominence goes deep in Southern sports writing circles. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Paul?
We're doing great, and I want to ask you. I want to start with Kiffin because not everyone, but a lot of the national media unloaded on him after the popcorn line. I didn't get it. I didn't understand the criticism, but the mic drop was maybe unnecessary, and maybe his answer or explanation about the game about to start. Hard to believe the game would have started without him. But anyway, it seemed like he was just speaking the truth. How do you think he's handled all of that in the aftermath?
I think as well as you can handle it, he had fun with it. And I think that was really important for him to do. He was asked about it at the next press conference, and I think overall he did handle it pretty well. Was it something he should have done? I don't know. I mean, I thought it was in good fun personally. I think that the walk away with the throwing of the headset or gentle toss of the headset was a little bit weird, but I don't think it was offensive. I think to an extent it was blown a little bit out of proportion. But as you know, Lane Kiffin's a lightning rod, and people tend to find ways to kind of bring him up and maybe bring him down when they can.
Michael, I'm sure you've heard this around that building, but the point that Kiffin defenders have made is the fact that the players were in the locker room. This was not something you say on a Monday that's on the bulletin board that affects the game. Nobody, none of those players knew what he was talking about, and it was just a throwaway line. Lane Kiffin is a lightning rod, so I ask you this before we even get to the game this weekend: what is he like to cover?
You know, it's interesting because full disclosure, I'm from Southern California, so he was actually the USC coach when I was a student reporter at USC.
Oh my!
And that was a good 10 years or so. It's crazy how it goes full circle, but. He's different than he was, but he still kind of is what he is. He doesn't love, doing the daily media thing. He plays it pretty close to the vest, but I think a thing with him is that he's having more fun with it now. And I think he's a lot more comfortable with who he is. You know, if you remember at SC, that wasn't always the case. And, you know, I don't know how many coaches handle criticism super well, but I think he's gotten a lot better at it. And, you know, he's got a couple good zingers here and there, you know, the popcorn stuff. 10 years ago, I don't know if he handles it that well. He's definitely different to cover than he was. Would you like him to maybe, you know, be a little bit more cheery every once in a while, maybe? But overall, he's actually been pretty good.
Well, let's go back to that. Now, again, in the context of this is you were a reporter, you were a student reporter. You weren't a professional. And he was at a pressure cooker like SC where the walls were literally coming down around him. Go back to that point. His last year there was 2013. What would you say is the biggest difference between Kiffin then and now?
I think he can laugh at himself, and he does that. I think we see it mostly on Twitter. He's very active on there, as you know. He's okay taking a jab and kind of being the butt of a joke on there. I don't know how many people take that well in person, and you know, it's not like he's gonna, you know, take those things as well in person as he takes them online. But I think 10 years ago, I don't know if he would be having fun with, you know, the popcorn thing or, you know, the microwave comment that he had saying that we forgot to plug it in. I don't think he does that 10 years ago. I think he's matured in the sense that he's comfortable with himself. And I don't know if I could have said that, you know, in my last year at SC was 2012. That was the 7-6 season where, like you said, the walls were kind of coming down. I don't think he would have been in that sort of space back then.
Michael, what's the mood in that community? How do the fans, how do the other students react to Lane Kiffin?
I think they love him. I think that he has brought a sort of enthusiasm and excitement to this program that, you know, they really needed. You know, the Matt Luke years. Matt Luke, by all accounts, was a really great guy, but he didn't really get people excited about the program. And Hugh Freeze had people excited about the program, but you know, I think Lane has kind of made Ole Miss cool again. You know, he's extremely online. He's savvy with social media. He has, you know, like I said, the zinger here and there. I think people really gravitate towards that. And, you know, he kind of has a cool factor. And I don't remember him having like the cool factor when he was at USC, but now he just seems like a guy that people really kind of want to go to bat for. And people in this community have really, I think, really embraced them. You know, obviously, you know, winning games helps. If they start losing a bunch, that changes maybe, but just the brand of football, the exciting offense, you know, having a guy like Matt Corral come from, you know, a Southern California kid, obviously he was recruited beforehand, but just to have that kind of a guy, you know, that sort of a personality. I just think it's all just been such a good fit so far.
Michael Katz with us, of course, covers the team. And Michael, let's talk a little bit about this game and the importance of it. I think it's self-evident that a win here and is really going to propel the winner of this game into a major position in the SEC West. The loser has issues, to say the least, with Alabama at least still left for Arkansas. What do you think is going to win this game for either team?
I think the first few weeks of the season, we sort of assumed that Ole Miss was as good as we thought they were because they were beating the pants off the teams they were supposed to be the pants off of. But against Alabama, I think it became very evident that their line play just isn't quite there yet. And I would probably say that on both the offensive and the defensive line. You know, they, as Lane said, like they got dominated. And, you know, Arkansas kind of had that sort of a game too against Georgia. I don't think there's any shame in being dominated on the line of scrimmage by either of those two programs. But I think that if Ole Miss is going to get to where it wants to be You know, the skill players are there. They have a dynamic quarterback. They have great running back. They have really good receivers. It's the offensive line play. You know, they averaged 1.8 yards per carry against Alabama last week. And I know it's Alabama, but, you know, for a team that was averaging 300 rushing yards a game, it kind of makes you wonder which is the real Ole Miss team. Is it the one we saw the first three games, or is it the one that we saw, you know, kind of show its warts against Alabama? And so I think that line play is going to be really big. I know that they want to establish the run, and you know, Matt Corral, did he have the best game of his life against Alabama? No, he didn't. But he didn't really have much of a chance. You know, he was efficient. He had the one turnover. But, you know, overall, you know, it wasn't really on him. And I think that they need to sort of clean up the line play. Lane has been critical of the line play so far this season. You know, there was a story, Pro Football Focus had them ranked really high after the Austin Peay game. And someone told Lane, and Lane said, well, you know, they don't watch film because we're not very good. And so I think it has been a problem. I still think they're trying to figure things out. And if they're going to get to where they think they can get, particularly offensively, that offensive line group has to improve a lot. And it's going to be a tough task against this Arkansas team.
Before you go, Michael, I'm curious. You graduated from the Annenberg School at SC, which is one of the most revered journalism and communication schools in the country. You've been in Wyoming. You're now in Mississippi. What's it like?
You know, if you had told me 10 years ago that I was ever going to leave Southern California, I would have laughed and said no way. But life has a funny way of taking you in a bunch of different places. I think if I had moved straight from California to Mississippi, it probably would have been a little bit jarring. But you know, Mississippi to Boise, Idaho, or sorry, California to Boise, Idaho, from Boise to Wyoming, and then Wyoming to here, it kind of softened the blow a little bit. You know, the Wyoming and, you know, Laramie, Wyoming and Oxford, Mississippi really aren't that different. It's just a lot more humid here, and I don't have to worry about snowstorms and blizzards.
You're right. Well, you've done a great job. We had a fantastic time talking to you. Come back soon, and really appreciate you making the time.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
You got it. Michael Katz joining us. Really, really interesting and fresh perspective to Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels. We're up against the break. Coming back, still have time for you to join us the final 30 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. And Bo is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Bo.
Hey, Paul Feinbaum. How you doing?
We're doing great. Good afternoon.
I almost called you Coach O.
please, you cannot do that.
Okay, so I have something to tell you that apparently has not been brought up on your show today.
No.
Okay. Last night on Coach O's radio show, he has every week on Wednesdays, a caller called in, and it started out as like, it's my sister's birthday, blah, blah, blah. And it was kind of like, you know, just tell her happy birthday, which Coach O did. Well, then he goes into his trolling, which is what his call is actually meant for.
Right.
He said, just to let you know, my sister is a young blonde. Please don't try to have sex with her. And when he says that, you know, Coach O's like, come on, man, blah, blah, blah. And Chris Blair, the LSU radio guy, is like, okay, Coach, let's talk about Kentucky. You know, trying to save him from what just happened. Okay, well, as he does that, Coach O says, no. He's, no, like, I want to address this. And then he says, we have a special place down in the – we got a special fishing hole or a special place
down
in the
bayou. Yeah,
hold
on, let me read it. I've called up the – I was not aware of this until you called. So one of our people looked it up for me. So this did happen. The story is in the Advocate this morning, the local newspaper there. So after Blair tried to move on, according to the newspaper, and you correct me if you heard it differently, Bo, Coach O responded with a veiled threat to the caller saying, and I'm quoting now, you know, down on the bayou, we got a nice little fishing hole for people like that.
Yes, that's what he said. I mean, first off, LSU radio, obviously, were scrambling, and they deleted that portion of the call of the radio show.
By the way, which they should have.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure if you're familiar with a podcast, Jordy Collada. He's from Baton Rouge area.
Sure.
He actually, his podcast, people were actually able to, you know, get the recording before they deleted it anyway. So it was put out there for people to hear. That's how I heard it. But, yeah, I mean, the guy is making press daily now with stupid things he's doing. I don't understand. I mean, that's a good way, I guess, to get it off
but
of the football
let me
play.
Say this. And you know, I'm not about to compare myself to Coach O. I mean, I do a talk show. But he's a major public figure. And I can tell you that if someone had called up to me with an insult like that about my wife or a family member, I would be rather irritated. Now, I've been down this road before, but what you have to do when you're the most recognizable person in the state of Louisiana is to be calm at all times and not go tit for tat when somebody is trying to bait you. And that's exactly what he did there. And I think moments like that will probably expedite his departure.
Well, I mean, if you look what he did at UCLA, coming into the stadium,
here's what happens, Bo. And this is really interesting. Those little things become part of a narrative that, let's say LSU loses this weekend or they win. It doesn't matter. It'll say they lose. Then you start regurgitating all these little things that happen, which in the moment don't seem like very much. It's a call-in show, and people always get trolled on these call-in shows. But you just have to be prepared when you are the face of a program and the face of the state, which he is.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, if that was a Bush League move, I mean, call in and do that to the man. But it's on him, too,
and
for taking
the bait.
What you
also have to do, and I don't know Chris Blair. I guess he's the broadcast. He's the play-by-play announcer there.
Yes.
What he has to do, and I'm just saying this as a broadcaster, he has to protect the coach.
He
has to say, Coach, we're going to a break. I mean, you just cannot let a guy like Ed Orgeron get into a spitting contest. I'm being charitable there.
He told Coach O, he said, let's go on to Kentucky. Let's discuss football. Let's talk about Kentucky. And Coach O said, no, I want to address this.
Yeah,
like,
well,
he stopped him and said, I'm addressing this.
But he almost
and
has to stop. But that's where he just has to go. He has to know. I mean, I'm not blaming him. I know he tried to do it. But he's got to be looking at Coach O and knowing the temperature. And I think we both know the temperature was pretty high.
Yeah. I don't know why Coach O has to let everyone know at all times that he is – He's able to beat somebody up or do this or
well,
that.
But Bo, I don't know where in Louisiana you live, and I don't live there. But you know, being like that plays to a certain section of that state, and I'm sure that's what you're supposed to do. But you can't do that when you're in his position right now. You've already used up your mulligans.
Yes. Yeah. Don't mean the water's hot.
Thanks for calling in. I had not heard that until a few minutes ago, and I'm not trying to suggest this one little. I mean, this is just a most people would react like that if you're insinuating something about a family member or about a loved one. I mean, that's human nature, and if Coach O was winning right now, and he had done that, it would probably not have been in the local newspaper today, but the fact that he isn't winning and he is veering toward problems, it becomes a bigger deal.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.